talk to you about the development of an index that we have been working with for the last few years called the Health Confidence Index. It's meant to be a parallel index to that of the typical kind of consumer confidence index that we are very familiar with in our society. This developed, as you may or may not know, through an interesting bit of history after World War II, when economists were predicting that post-World War II, the U.S. economy was going to go into the tanks, and it did not. The opposite happened, and some economists thought it was having to do with the confidence that the country had about itself and the economy at the time. And so a consumer confidence index was begun in the late 40s and early 50s, and it's related to things like past and expected changes in personal finances, short and long-term outlook for business conditions, buying, and so on. So the question is, can we develop a similar index for the U.S. Healthcare system, and can it be profitably be deployed to answer some questions about consumer confidence in the U.S. Healthcare system? Essentially, what we wanted to do is to develop a confidence index that would tap into four different components, and these will be illustrated over as we move forward. That is, we are interested in the system as a whole and on people's experience in with the system. Groups that offer care, such as hospitals, and individuals who offer care, such as medical professionals and doctors and nurses. You'll see that I'm going to walk you through some of the development of this index and not just where we are now. And so I wouldn't say we took some false steps, but we began haltingly and then have now sort of centered ourselves on the kinds of issues that we want to represent. There are three studies here that I can tell you a little bit of, about each of them, but not a lot. Study one was an initial development on consumer health confidence. Study two is a modification and validation of that index a little bit further, and then as a predictor of various kinds of outcomes that we might be interested in. So study one is based on a project that Vince Price and I were working on in the year 2004 called the Healthcare Dialogue Project, which had a variety of different kinds of undertakings, but we were interested in people's confidence in the healthcare system as a part of this project. It focused on over 2,000 adults, 18 years of age and older, and it was a survey that was done through a Knowledge Networks panel, which some of you may know is a survey that's done online with a representative sample of the American public. One of the key measurements here is how good a job of contributing to a quality healthcare system do you think each of the following is doing? And we ask questions about your own regular doctor, doctors in general, nurses in general, local hospitals, general hospitals, HMOs, insurance companies, and drug companies. And these eight questions produced an alpha, an internal reliability or clustering of the responses that was pretty good, about 0.85. How good a job of contributing to, and here's the other items that we use for the validity test: satisfaction with medical care, worry about prospective quality of the medical care, confidence in people running the healthcare system, need to change government regulation in health areas, support for radical plan on a healthcare system, and financial troubles that individuals might have in paying their medical bills. So what did we find out from this first study? Well, people who were higher in their health confidence index were more likely to be satisfied with the quality and cost of medical care. They were less likely to be worried that the quality of medical care was getting worse, and they were more likely to have confidence in the people running healthcare institutions. These are not surprising findings, but they do confirm what we expect this index to tell us about. Here's an example of particular cases and percentages. So for the percentage of people who answered how satisfied are you with the quality of medical care that you and your family now receive, those who were high in health care were very satisfied at a rate of about 48%, as opposed to those who were at lower half of the health confidence index. Only 15% of them were very satisfied with the quality of medical care that they and their families were receiving. Those that scored higher in healthcare health confidence index were less likely to think that the current government regulation of the system should be changed. Okay, they were less likely to support universal single-payer system and less likely to have financial problems paying for their medical bills. Again, consistent with what we might expect for such an index. Here's an example. Tell us if you think there should be more or less government regulation, and you see that those in the upper half, about 42%, said there should be no change in regulation, whereas those in the lower half, 73%, said there should be more more regulation or less regulation to change. Study 2 is a modification on the index to tap into all four of the components that I began with on health confidence and to further validate the study and then to start looking at monthly trends. This is based on a survey that's being conducted at the Annenberg School, began in January of 2005, a monthly survey of health communication activities. By the way, the data from this survey for the first year will be going public very soon, and you would have access to it if you so chose. Sample here is, again, adults in the United States, 18 and over, about 3,000 people, again, a Knowledge Networks panel. And what we've done here is to, in this later study, is to keep some core items out of both the Study 1 and Study 2. That's in this center pair of boxes. But to introduce in Study 2 questions about the FDA, how would you rate the overall quality of medical care that you and your family receive now in order to replace hospitals in general, nurses in general, and so on? How would you rate the current health insurance coverage? How would you rate the healthcare system as a whole? This becomes our sort of surrogate measure that we are hoping that this measure would become the simple, single key measure that we'd be able to follow over a long period of time. The two studies do have some comparability. The 8 items in Study 1 and the 8 items in Study 2, though they have only 4 items in common, have about the same internal reliability. And when those 4 items in common are compared, you can see that their correlations with the 8 items are very high, about 0.95 in both cases. So we end up with a health system question in the middle, regular doctors, general doctors, insurance companies, drug companies, the FDA, your health insurance, your medical care. Right, as a way of tapping into these two dimensions, if you will, of health confidence. People who scored high in Study 2 in health confidence were older, had higher education, unsurprisingly higher income. They had better health status. They had, again, unsurprisingly had health insurance. They tended to be more Republican and more conservative, which, of course, goes with being older and higher education and so on. One of the key, interesting sort of key issues is on financial problems. How much of a hardship was it for you to pay for out-of-pocket health care costs? For those who were in the lower half of the health confidence index, about 60% had the big problem with this, whereas only about 35% in the upper half of the health confidence index. Only about a third had problems with this issue. What about delaying taking prescription drugs because it was too costly? Again, this is, a very telling commentary. Those in the lower half, about 41% said that they had delayed, whereas those in the upper half on health confidence, only about 20% of those had to delay taking prescription drug medicine or a member of their family. Support for regulation, the differences here are not great, but opposition is a little bit larger for those who are in the upper half of health confidence, 33% versus 27%. Here are some time trends on these data, and what you can see overall is that, first of all, there is not a lot of variation in these measures over the period January 05 to August 06. We do have another year or so more of data to add to this now, but that's not represented in these time trends. By the way, these are not weighted and they are not smoothed. So these are the raw data. What you can see is that at the top of this is that people really like their own doctors. All right, they don't necessarily like groups. They don't have, don't say like is the wrong word here, confidence. They have less confidence in medical groups. They have a lot of confidence in their own medical experiences and their own docs and so on. And the system overall is down here at the bottom. So more group-oriented stuff produces less confidence, just as people don't like Congress, but they like their congressman. So there's not much news there. Study 3 was to examine the predictive power of health confidence index a little bit further by using panel data from two different studies, the healthcare dialogue study, and the panel data was about 1,600, and the a sub-study of the Annenberg National Health Communication Survey of about 500 people. And we carried out two kinds of regression analyses, health confidence index at time 1 and some variable of interest at time 2, controlling for that variable at time 1, and then also health confidence index at time 2, controlling on health confidence at time 1, and some other variable of interest to see what kinds of effects we might have. Key here is prospective worry, because that's a key measure that's used in predicting confidence in the economic system. Here, health confidence at time 1 was negatively related to worry about the quality of medical care getting worse at time two, and similarly, worry at time one, same relationship with health confidence at time two. So it's not like one is predicting the other or vice versa. There's clearly a mutual causal relationship here, controlling on the key variables at the prior time period. So we can't say that one is predicting the other in a clear-cut way. Change in regulation, you get the same kinds of effects. Again, mutual causal effect should be a change in current government regulation. Those who have confidence say, no, leave it alone. Okay. Financial problems, again, the same relationship, but a weaker, much weaker relationship on paying medical bills in the past 12 months. By way of conclusion here, I think we have a reliable and valid construct. It currently doesn't show a lot of variation, and that's actually problematic in some ways. Because it's difficult for the index over an 18-month period to show much change with other kinds of changes in the society at large. It does have some predictive validity about things we care about, such as worry and anxiety, change in the system, and so on. The place in which we'd like to take these analyses next is a little bit more careful work with the temporal data, to pay attention to subgroups and see what kinds of differences there are across subgroups over time, to weight these data and to do some smoothing of them. But probably the best application of it, which we haven't undertaken yet, is to look at more objective indices such as the number of people without health insurance, increases and decreases in overall health of the society, and the comparison to that between that and the subjective measures of confidence. Those will be the, I think, the most telling kinds of tests. So all of this work is fairly preliminary, but we have some confidence that the measure is working the way we had proposed it to be. Happy to take any questions if there's any time. Okay. Yes. Well, the knowledge network sample is a little different from simply asking people to participate who have computers. They do the way they gather their sample is they put together a panel of people who participate, and that panel is obtained through random digit dialing. If people don't have computers, they get web TVs to participate, and so there isn't a bias toward people who have computers versus don't have computers. Yeah, they got to have a phone. Yeah, but the penetration with phones is a lot better than it is with computers. Except for, of course, the fact that the phones that we're all carrying around in our pockets now is another issue. Yes, which will become bigger and bigger for the pollsters. Other questions?